get ahead, like, just recognize that in the long run, you're going to have big expenses, they're going to have big expenses, and it's going to be a wash, right?
But so, you each will have what you need.
Yeah, but you'll each have what you need, right? And so not playing the fair game, because that either makes you angry that your partner spent more money than you did that month or whatever, and you don't have the nice thing they did, or it leads to you overspending by a lot.
Welcome to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. Making sense of your money, one money talk at a time. Let's get talking. Hello and welcome to today's episode of Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. Today we're talking with Sarah and Taylor Nielsen. Sarah is one of my wife's friends and they've known each other for the past few years. And my wife knows that they like to talk about money, so she invited them to come on this podcast. Today's conversation is a fun one. And we get to dive into quite a few different topics. This episode is going to be applicable for everyone, and especially if you're married. If you're married, this would be a great episode to listen to as a couple, on a drive or something like that. We talk about a lot of great things like taking opportunities, how marriage doesn't have to be fair, how to support each other, how to think about debt, being on the same page, how to take steps on your journey when the steps might be different, budgets, trying new things, and the list goes on and on. Taylor also shares one of the greatest pieces of advice that we all wish we could go back and learn sooner in life. So be sure to stick around to the end of the interview to hear what they both have to say that they wish they would have knew sooner when it comes to money. In today's Money Talk Mastery segment, we're going to be talking about adult expenses. You're going to hear some conversation today about the boring but necessary bills like insurance, housing, transportation, and the like. While these are things that we have to spend money on, they're also things that we can save on. So I want to share some insights on how we can save some money on the necessary evils when it comes to our money. The money talking points for today's episode are you a general budget or a specific budget kind of person? And number two, what are some opposite ways to handle money that you can think about now so that you can see the other side of the coin? With the money talking points in mind, let's get right into today's episode. Hello, everybody. Welcome to today's interview on Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. Joining me today, I have Taylor and Sarah Nielsen. And these are a couple of Sarah is one of my wife's friends. They've known each other for a while and we've hung out before and stuff. But they've mentioned they listen to my podcast and by doing that, got themselves on my podcast. So they can blame themselves for that one, or at least Rebecca. But Taylor, will you go ahead and introduce yourselves? Maybe tell us a little bit of what you do for work and stuff like that.
Yeah, so I'm Taylor. I'm a software engineer. I've been working in the field for a few years now. Sarah's my wife. We've been married for over 6 years, 5 years. We're in year six. And she used to be an elementary school teacher while I was finishing up school. And now she stays at home with our two kids.
Awesome. Well, that's good to hear. So let's just jump right into the money conversation today. And Sarah, we'll start with you with this first question of, did your parents talk to you about money?
Yes, they did. They helped me learn that to have money, you need to work and you never should turn down an opportunity to work. You should save and pay your tithing.
Awesome. Taylor, what did you learn from your parents about money?
I had two sides of it, right? So I got the typical, like, you need to save, you need to be wise about how you spend your money. And so growing up, we did the 50-40-10 rule where 50% of what we made went into savings, 40% went to spending, and 10% went to tithing and charity. And then I also learned after making a couple expensive purchases that I used for like 30 minutes and then never again, it kind of became a rule of you had to want something for at least 3 months before buying it. So I just learned kind of how to not make impulse money decisions. But at the same time, as much as they talked about that, they didn't talk about like my dad's salary and how they went about budgeting. So I learned kind of about the abstract idea of money, but I wasn't really included in like the details or really understanding what like real life money is like.
Interesting. I liked the point you made about the 50-40-10 rule. Do you think rules of thumb are helpful? Like, do you think that's something that really stuck with you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's a perfect percentage that works for everyone, but I think it does help you with the practice of recognizing there are different areas that you can put your money into, and a percentage is an easy way to break it up.
Yeah, I like what you mentioned there that maybe the numbers don't work the same for everybody. I think that's something that's good to take away. Is there something that you learned from your parents that you think applies really well toward your marriage now that you think you take directly from that? And that's for either of you. Is there something you feel that is very applicable?
Yeah. Something when I was younger that I think my parents did really well. They did a great job at supporting each other and always making sure that you have money for what you need. Because I feel like when something matters to you, you always can make it work for the most part, realistically at least. But so I feel like that was really helpful to me getting married, that if my husband needed a new phone, we could get him a new phone and I didn't have to have a new phone kind of thing. Like he could get one and we could support each other that way. Just that budget is a good idea and a guideline, but it's okay not to always follow it, that you can get things that you need and always make sure everybody has the things that they need and things will work out.
Did you both land on that, I guess, same thought process at the same time? Or is there either of you that felt like you had to stick to the budget more?
It's definitely been a work in progression, right? I mean, as are most marriages in every aspect. When we first started, we both were very used to living on budgets, just in different ways. Sarah was much more of a, here is my total budget for the month. I can move money from like one budget category to another if I need to. Mm-hmm. So if I see a cute shirt that's a little more than my clothing budget this month, I will just decrease how much I spend on food or whatever this month. I'll live on cheaper food. Whereas I was very much very strict on the categories. Like I will stick to my budget by sticking to the category budget. Mm-hmm. And that's how I'll stay with it. And that took some working together to figure out like what works best for us. And I think we're in a happy medium, right? Like we have our budget, we have the categories set so that we know kind of rough areas where we should be spending the money, but we don't do the strict category where I'm not going to send over. We already spent all our food. We are living on rice and beans for the rest of the month.
I think another thing that my parents taught me about money growing up was that the reasonable things for debt would be a modest home, a modest car, and an education. And I think that has helped a lot in our marriage too. I've heard that debt can be a big challenge in marriages. So I think that was super helpful to know going into a marriage to avoid. And
were you both naturally at that point of like debt isn't used for everything? Was that something you had to talk through, or was that something that clicked for you?
No, I think we're both pretty much on that, very much on that same page. And neither of us had debt getting married either, so that was helpful.
Yeah, it's helpful when you come into it and you say, hey, let's do our finances together. Because when there is debt that's separate, I think that's what drives couples away from doing things together, is the your debt, my debt battle. But when you don't have that, that makes it a whole lot easier. How did you guys learn to handle money together? Did you just jump into it head first, or did you guys kind of say, okay, let's maybe start slowly with combining finances? I don't know how you do money now, so maybe you don't do money together at all. But how did you guys learn to do that together?
We just jumped right in. Everything was together from the beginning. Savings that we had, and we got a combined bank account and everything like that. So we just jumped right in and did it together and figured it out as we went. Yeah.
Did either of you feel like that wasn't a good thing? Like, was there ever any... I guess, reservations about doing that? Or do you feel like that was the right way to go for you?
I think it was really a good way to go for us. I mean, luckily we had good guidance from parents, family, and school that told us that we should talk about a lot of things before even getting married. And money is one of them. And so we'd already had conversations and we knew that neither of us had debt. We knew that neither of us really felt like debt was worth it, right? And so there was already that financial trust going into it. And so it worked out well for us. I know some people do. You still have some separate accounts or whatever. Our version of that is each month, part of our budget is our personal money. The don't ask, don't tell, like you don't have to tell me you're spending this. You can go use it, but it still comes from the same shared account. Yeah. And so that was good. And then, I mean, we both had individual credit cards, which we kept for a while. But I mean, it still paid off from the same bank account.
And we told each other how much it spent every month and kind of went through it together. And then once we figured out what credit card we wanted, what, a year or two later, we got a combined credit card.
Well, I think that's something that's key too, is you didn't feel like you had to do all of it all at once. Like, having separate credit cards is okay, but you're still talking about it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like I have my separate credit card, but I expect our joint account to pay for whatever I put on it. Mm-hmm. You mentioned you would tell each other each month what you spent. Do you guys talk about money with like a regular cadence, or do you bring it up when it needs to come up?
You know, it's kind of funny. When we were first married, I'd have to tell Taylor, okay, we've talked about money so much, I can't talk about this anymore. So yes, we talk about money very regularly. Taylor's always calculating how much he'd have to make to do something, or if he works this much, he could do this with the money, or if we had this much, we could buy this house for... Anyway, he's always calculating some sort of money to talk about.
Yeah, that's what led to this podcast. I was telling Taylor before this that me talking about it so much is... So maybe Taylor needs to start his own podcast. What were you going to say, Taylor?
I was just going to say, now our cadence is more of just every month, because we actually still have some personal credit cards. So we just, at the end of the month, like, hey, how much is on your personal credit card? How much is on mine? How much is on our shared? How much do we owe on the mortgage? Like, let me do the math, make sure that the right accounts have the right balances before we go to pay it all. And so just kind of the month, like, hey, what's the number? Throw it in. And then that's when kind of our checking, like, ooh, this month was a little painful. Like, what happened? Let's take a look. Or, oh, this month, like, we did really good. Why? And so, yeah, it's just kind of once a month.
Yeah. Right? Well, and with our, you talk about having a personal credit card. We really don't put much on it. We each just have one little thing to keep the credit going on our credit card.
And that makes it easy. Like, you don't feel like, you know, like, Taylor's not worried that you're spending too much or vice versa or anything like that.
Taylor's always worried I'm spending too much.
Yeah, I guess I probably get where he's coming from with that. But, what are some things you mentioned? A mortgage, you mentioned some personal credit cards, you mentioned doing everything together. What are some things that you both think are important for couples to be aware of when it comes to money? You mentioned talking about money before you got married. Is there anything that stands out in your mind now that you've been married for a few years of how you should make financial decisions together?
I think you want to make sure you're both really comfortable with the decision. If you want to buy a new car, I think you both need to feel comfortable with whatever that entails financially. So making sure you're both comfortable with it. So making sure you're both on the same page with what it would require and making sure you're comfortable with that, and that you're both happy with your financial situation. If one of you feels like totally trapped in a budget, to bring that up and talk about it, just so that money is not an issue in your life and in your marriage.
Taylor, do you think there's anything that could be a potential, I guess, landmine for a couple? Like, is there something that's come up, and you don't have to go into a ton of detail, but is there anything that's come up that you think if couples can get ahead of that a little bit, that would be helpful?
Yeah, I mean, the two things that come to mind are, and Sarah kind of touched on it earlier, is that it's really hard in the beginning, if you're sharing finances, to not do like the fair, right? Like, when we got married, I needed a new phone because my phone was old and about to die.
Especially when,
and that was a large expense.
College.
Yeah. And it would have been really easy for Sarah to go, hey, well, it's only fair for me to get a new phone now, which really just doubles these large expenses. And so to get ahead, like, just recognize that in the long run, you're going to have big expenses, they're going to have big expenses, and it's going to be a wash, right?
But so, you each will have what you need.
Yeah, but you'll each have what you need, right? And so not playing the fair game, because that either makes you angry that your partner spent more money than you did that month or whatever, and you don't have the nice thing they did, or it leads to you overspending by a lot. So that's one. And then the other one is, even though Sarah and I had the same ideas on money, like, we both had like the core, like, we want to avoid debt a lot. We want to follow a budget.
Save for retirement.
Even though we had the same like core, the next level up, the management of it was different.
So different.
And that was something we weren't expecting. Like, we both believe these same things, so it should be the same. But I mean, I touched on it with the compartmentalizing the budget versus overall budget. Like, that's one thing. I know there's a bunch of ways of managing budgets too, which are so different, even if you have those same core beliefs. Like, I've seen family and friends where, like, the husband works and then he gives his wife a budget and puts that money into account and she can go spend it in the budget. I've seen people where there's not really, but it's like, it's an accountant, go, like, that way you don't feel trapped. And then there's the, hey, like, here's our shared idea. We're both kind of looking at the bills. Let's go. And each one might work with some people. But eventually we landed on the, I pay the bills, but it's not like I give her a budget. Like, we both have full access to the cards and the account. We both kind of review it, but one of us is just more in charge of, like, the menial of, like, paying the bills and stuff. And so I think that's something to watch out for, that just because you have the core money beliefs deep down doesn't mean that you have the same implementation ideas as well. And so to talk about that level as well.
Yeah, like Taylor mentioned earlier, I had to learn I couldn't buy a shirt if it meant we weren't going to have enough in our grocery budget that month, that it wasn't just about me anymore. It's about your family.
But then you also talked to me about it too. And then we were able to find what works for us instead of sticking to each our own individual.
Well, that's where the conversation is so important, because if you, like you mentioned, you have the same core beliefs. You both want to retire someday. It's not like Taylor, you don't want to retire or something like that, but you have the same general direction, but you both have slightly different ways of getting there. And without talking about that, that may leave Sarah feeling stranded with no ability to buy something she wants, or it leaves Taylor feeling like there's no direction. I don't know. Like, those are battles that I think every couple has to face, but through conversation and stuff, you're able to figure that out. But how do you guys compromise on those? Like, I'm sure there's been places where Taylor's gave, Sarah's gave both ways, like you getting a new phone or maybe her being able to take from the grocery budget one month or something like that. How do you guys compromise and work through those things when they might be a little tense sometimes?
We talked about it a lot, and I think something that helped us was having a buffer in our budget. So for a long time, my nickname was the buffer, because I'd always spend the buffer getting things for our home and other things that I thought we needed. But now I think our compromise is we have our roles. Taylor's the primary breadwinner and I'm the primary bread loser, and it works.
Yeah, it's progressed, obviously. Like, we've tried different things. I mean, there's no one size fits all, and it's experimentation all through marriage. But like Sarah said, for a while, like, I wanted my compartment still. I wasn't ready to give up on that. And so I made a buffer compartment where we put some money in there. And it was like, if you feel like you need to overflow from one of the other categories, pull it from the buffer. But as Sarah alluded to, it eventually became that she saw the buffer as free spend. And so
there's an extra on whatever she wants.
Yeah. So it was like, oh, here's an extra category. I can spend as much as I want. So none of the buffer ever made it to savings, which is what it's supposed to be, like, mostly savings, but just in case. And so we had to move away from that. And so I think part of it, luckily we've been in the financial position where we're not living month to month, where, like, a difference in $5 to $100 really isn't make or break. So I was able, the compromise is kind of like, hey, I'll loosen up. I'm not going to watch our exact dollar amounts in the budgets. Like, we both know what we want to spend in these categories. We both know what the month kind of spend that we want to do. And then we both know that we want to save. And if the month is higher, we're not going to save as much. And so there were a few months where Sarah was like, hey, Taylor, I feel like we're not saving anything. And so we had to talk. We're like, look, this is what we're spending our money on. You can either spend your money on this or we can save, right? Like, we can't do both. And so I think realizing, like, where money is going, as well as just, like, it may not work for everyone, but loosening up the exact dollar and cent budget really helped.
Us, at least.
Well, I'd say Rebecca and I are the same way, that, like, not being as tight, because I was definitely, like, I was running, like, monthly audits on our spreadsheet and stuff and saying, I'm missing, like, $20. Where's that money at? And things like that. And now I've gotten to the place where I don't care as much. It still comes up. But I definitely think loosening up, and I like what you said about be willing to move on from maybe those places where you want to stay and be willing to try new things, talk about it often. That's all very useful. So I heard you mention to Rebecca Taylor that life gets more expensive as you go, and it kind of surprises you. With it being so expensive, how do you manage to still save for long-term goals? You both mentioned the word retirement. Is that even possible? Like, how do you save for that when life gets so expensive?
I mean, there's a few ways. One, I'm a borderline workaholic. And so I work a job and a half. And luckily, the second job, it's a consulting job, and I'm in control of my hours. I could even up it to 40. So I could basically work two jobs if I wanted. And I just got lucky. Because I'm a software engineer and I love it, I got into it because it was my passion. Mm. I just got lucky that I like to feel that that pays on the higher end, right? So how do we afford it? I mean, I work two very well-paying jobs, but it's the hard work, right? Mm. When I didn't have two jobs, I was always trying to figure out, is there a second job I could get? Is there something I could do just kind of on my side to hustle? Before we got married, I really wanted to have like a good nest egg. So I did what I still think is the best and worst job, but I did door-to-door sales for 3 summers, which was super hard summers, but it sent me out, right? So how do we afford it? I just work harder than I think a lot of people are willing to work.
Okay, like Taylor said, having a big nest egg before you get started, and I know it's so different for everybody, but I worked for 4 years before we had kids, and I feel like that really helped us to get ahead with that nest egg for things like buying a house, and we each needed a new car during that time and stuff, so having that really helped us to get ahead in a way. And
then, I mean, recognizing the time value of money, right?
Mm-hmm.
You always talk about that, like the earlier you invest, when you're 60, it's going to be all, then you get into the super opportunity cost levels of it. Like if I spent an extra $1,000 on a car now, that's an extra $1,000 that's not there. And if I left $1,000 to compound, that's going to be $300,000. Yeah. Like, is that $300,000 when I'm 60 worth it? And I think recognizing that, like comparing your purchases and investments to that, it makes it easier to say, instead of it's only $50, it doesn't matter, to say, yeah, we're putting $50, which doesn't seem a lot right now, but we'll be glad that, whoa, that not a lot turned into something.
Yeah, I think that could be, honestly, I wish there was a way, a very easy way for people to just plug in what they're spending now and see, oh, you're not spending $30, you're spending $3,000 if you really think about where you could put the money, because that's a huge mind shift for people to save money. And I know you mentioned working hard helps bridge that gap towards the nice things you want and still saving for retirement. Do you feel like maybe, I guess that's a little bit of a lesson too for people who maybe don't want to, that you sometimes have to scale back what you want if you're not willing to work for it. Do you think that's applicable?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've always told people the more I've made and the more I've worked, the poorer I feel. Because now that you have all this money that you think I'm making more, I can go spend it on fun things. Mm-hmm. You realize that there's more prudent things that you can now afford. Mm-hmm. Like you can max out your Roth IRAs. Mm-hmm. You can now afford to put more into your match in your 401k. You can now afford to get a 6 or 8 month savings account, mm-hmm. right? And so, to answer the question, I think if you're not willing to earn more, you do have to scale back. But also the thing that was hard for me is recognizing that when you make more, often it's not play money when you make more. It's
other goals.
It's you now can do things that are forward thinking instead of month to month.
That's kind of the fun thing too, is that once you start doing better with money, you realize what you actually want to do with it instead of just spending. Because sometimes spending can get away from us and maybe we don't really need stuff. But
oh, I still want to do all the fun stuff. I just control myself.
Awesome. Well, I think this has been a really great conversation. Of course, feel free to add anything if you still have a thought on your mind. But my final question is for each of you, what do you wish you would have known sooner when it comes to managing your money? This can be either before you were married or now.
Put my funny answer in, but buy Bitcoin. But my real answer, I think the thing I would have wished I knew about money is kind of what I said I didn't get from my parents. Is like the real, like when I got into college, I was like, sweet, I'm going to get a college degree. And granted, salaries and stuff have gone up. But I was like, when I get a college degree, I'm going to graduate and be making hundreds of thousands of dollars because I have a college degree, not no college. Then you get to college, you're like, oh yeah, our college average salary after graduation is $50,000. But I think I could make that if I just worked a 10-hour a day excavation job. Like, why am I studying? I always thought that if you worked in a college white collar field, like you're overflowing with money. Like you can afford a house and a car and basically any food you want, like the budget's there as a general idea, but I thought you could afford it. So I think the reality of money is what I wish I would have known sooner. Like, what do people actually make when they go to college, when they don't? What does it actually cost to live in a three-bedroom house, a five-bedroom house? What does it actually cost to feed a family, right? Like, all these real money items is what I wish I would have known sooner. Yeah. It would have given me a better perception about what I could expect out of life.
Yeah, that's a great point. Sarah, do you have anything you wish you would have known sooner with money, or do you know it all?
No, I definitely don't know it all. Taylor kind of touched on this a tiny bit, but I wish I would have known how much of your money as an adult goes to things that aren't fun. Things like health insurance, car insurance, utilities, just all those like expenses that you don't see as a child. Because I remember certain experiences growing up where it's not in the budget, and I just cannot understand how you make so much money and it's not in the budget. But going along with that, just how much control and say you have on where your money goes at the same time, that those little $5, $10 purchases add up really fast.
Awesome. Well, thank you both for coming on my show and talking about money. It was a fun conversation. We talked about a whole bunch of things about like take opportunities, support each other. I liked one thing I wrote down here is that FAIR isn't required. I think that was something that was really interesting that people can take away from this one, and some great conversation here. So thank you both for coming on.
Of course. Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much to Sarah and Taylor for that wonderful interview. That was fantastic. And I wanted to talk about real quick here some impacts that you might be able to take away from their interview. The first thing is that understand that getting married or being married means that you're going to have to give up some of the ways that you manage money. I think Sarah and Taylor can attest to that in their interview today, but also my wife and I can as well. There's some things that we've both had to adjust on how we want to handle money. And there's some ways that Sarah and Taylor described that they had to adjust on how they handle money. And that's okay. That's what's so fun about being married and handling money together. So you have to adjust and learn and grow with each other, and then you get to do it together and you're like, hey, this is how we handle money, and that's really cool. And another thing that I think could be impactful is understanding that rules of thumb can be a really good starting point. Taylor shared that the 50-40-10 budget allowed him to get started and it was a good rule of thumb for him. A couple others might be using auto percentages. Some people like to say save 10%, donate 10%, and then budget with the rest of it. Things like that. Percentages are really good because they fluctuate as you gain more money, so consider using percentages. Another rule of thumb is the 4% rule for financial independence. I think rules of thumb can be a really good starting point to help you dive down the rabbit hole to learn a little bit more about what you want to do with your money. But that's the impact that you might be able to take from today's episode. Let's talk about the money talking points next. So the first money talking point, are you a general budget or a specific budget kind of person? I am very much a specific budget kind of person. What are you? Let me know. Shoot me an email. Go to my website and leave me a comment about what kind of a budget person are you. But this leads greatly into my second money talking point, which is what are some opposite ways to handle money that you can think about now to see the other side of the coin? If you're a very strict, specific budget kind of person, try not sticking to it so directly. Give it a shot. Like Sarah and Taylor's opposites were Sarah wanted to maybe spend a little bit so she was okay with taking from one category and using it on another, whereas Taylor was very strict and wanted to stick to the categories. That's okay. This can be a great way to help you see the other side. For me, it was sticking to a strict budget. I wanted to keep track of every single dollar in our lives. And I let up on this. That's okay. I realized, hey, that's not necessary. I do still keep good tabs on where our money is because I like to know the numbers and keep them specific and accurate. But I also know that from month to month, it's okay to let it slide a little bit and say, hey, we overspent in this category, but look how much extra we had in this other one. So we'll be fine. What do you need to let up on? What do you need to try out? Are you cheap and don't spend any money? Try spending a little bit more on something nice. But don't use this as a chance to do bad things with your money. So let's say you're investing 25%. Don't suddenly start spending that 25%. That's not what I mean to do with this money talking point. Maybe look at the small little things and see if there's a slight different way you can handle your money that can help you see another way to do it and another way to try it out. And this can be a great money talking point because it's going to help you start some conversations around how people manage money differently and how that's okay. It's okay that we all manage money differently, but don't go out and start doing bad things with your money and say, Skylar Fleming told me to on his podcast that to try the other side of the coin and that meant not saving anything. So that's not what I mean. Try out and have a conversation with people about other ways you can handle money. But I want to talk about a personal finance power up next that I think is going to be really helpful for everyone listening. All right, today's personal finance power up is really meant for couples, but it's applicable to everybody. And that's to align your core money thoughts. Understand that the steps after that, though, will be different. Dream together, it's a ton of fun. So let's start there. What would you do if you won the lottery? This is a great way to get a dreaming-based conversation going. Talk about the big things and go from there. Then figure out how you want to get there. That's when the steps are going to get different. And that's what was shared in today's interview. You can have the same general core money beliefs, but then the next steps might be slightly different. So align yourselves on your goal, and then it gets a whole lot easier to compromise on the small things because you know you're heading in that same direction. Maybe you get to that point 6 months later because one of the two in a marriage wants to do something slightly differently. 6 months is going to be okay, but you're still going to get there. So it's a whole lot easier to let up on the small things when you have the same target in mind. So that's a great place to start, and that's your personal finance power up for today. But next, let's talk about Money Talk Mastery. In today's Money Talk Mastery segment, I want to talk about adult expenses and how you can save on them. So we're going to go through a list of different things, different common required expenses in our day-to-day lives, and touch on a few ways that you could save money on them. Housing. Well, this one, I think I kind of wrote down a simple, obvious answer, but buy a smaller house. Maybe you don't need as massive of a house as you have, and maybe now's an opportunity to move. Or it's something you can begin saving towards so that you can really save yourself some money. But you could also consider renting part of your house out if you have a giant house. That's something that can help offset the cost of your mortgage a lot. And I know it's something that a lot of people do, and especially if you have extra bedrooms and don't need them, it's a way you could really save some money. The next one I want to talk about is transportation. And this is a huge one for me, and I have episodes on this on my podcast. But take public transit, ride a bike, drive less. That's a great way to save money on transportation. If you're spending a ton of money on gas, then you need to consider how you can drive less. Consider riding a bike. Consider a bus plus a bike. Because often buses aren't going to be a great way to get right to the destination you want to go, but maybe a bus is a great way to get near it. And then you can bike with a basket or a cart behind it or something to go get groceries. Get an e-bike. Those are a great way to save a lot of money. My wife and I spend less than $100 a month, often way less than $100 a month on gas for our cars because I ride an e-bike and we both have public transit passes and things like that. So we save a ton of money there on transportation. Groceries and food is another necessary expense for everyone. We have to eat, right? Well, with food, I consider food as eating out. I consider groceries as meals. So eat out less. That one's pretty simple in my opinion. Eating out is so expensive, especially if you have, honestly, more than one person. But once you get over one person, you start to get to two or three or four or five people eating out, it is so expensive. When I overhear cashiers read the total of a family that's eating out, I don't understand how that's affordable at all. It's so expensive and I don't get it. I don't like to eat out a lot because it is expensive. So that's one that I would consider putting on the chopping block. Consider eating out less. But another way you can save money on groceries is by meal planning. I have an app that I love to use. It's called Paprika 3. It's available on both Android and iPhone, I believe. But episode 112 of my podcast, if you go back and search for that wherever you're listening to this on, is all about managing a grocery budget. That's a great starting point of how to get started with meal planning. If groceries is the one where you're like, yeah, that's where I need to save money, go back and listen to episode 112. A couple other ones here are utility bills, cell phones, and monthly subscriptions. Utility bills. Consider a smart thermostat that puts it in eco mode or automates your heating and cooling. Use the weather to heat and cool your house. I know right now it's the springtime, so it gets kind of cold during the morning, so it's a little chilly in the morning when we wake up, but we let the sun into the house and it heats it right up, and it's a nice 73, 74 degrees in the house just by the sun. It's a little warm even, but we use the sun to help heat our house, and we know during the summer we're going to have to run the air conditioner, but in the fall we can open up the windows and let the breeze blow through, and we can use that to cool our house, and then we avoid spending the money there. And that's an awesome opportunity to use sinking funds to maybe budget regularly more than your utility bill so that the months that it is high, you can say, oh yeah, we got some savings there. That's okay. So like your July utility bill you use some of the extra money you budgeted from March and April, where it wasn't so expensive, to say, yeah, we got this, we're okay, we're not busting the budget because of an expensive air conditioner bill 1 month. As for cell phones, you don't need unlimited data. It's very unlikely that you need to have unlimited data. And if you're saying to yourself, well, I use my phone for work, consider having your work pay for your phone. Ask if that's a thing. You shouldn't be taking the whole bill of unlimited data and those expensive charges that you get for your phone because you're using it for work. But that's a separate conversation. But I don't think you need unlimited data. I think that's something you should try to challenge in your life. I think it's something that we've been ingrained into our day-to-day habits with our phones, but we don't really need it. I really like Mint Mobile. My wife and I both have it. We have their 5 gigabyte plan, and it's only $15 a month, I believe, and it's super easy. We stay under that. We don't even go near it sometimes. I think my wife hit it once the day that it renewed or something like that. It was no big deal. Monthly subscriptions. I talked about this in a recent episode, so I won't talk about it too much, but turn off auto renewal. Those are just a few. What are other things that you'd like to save money on? Let me know on social media or in an email, but let's wrap up today's episode next. Overall, make sure you avoid spending more than you need to on those necessary expenses in your life. And get this, all those changes you want to do in your financial life, you don't have to do them all at once. That's what's pretty awesome, and that's something that was shared in today's interview. But also realize that you do have to give in a marriage and that things won't always be fair, and that's okay. So what are some insights that you took away from today's episode? I would love to hear them. And I would love to hear anything that you had to think about this podcast so far. So please go to skylarfleming.com/feedback and send me your thoughts on this episode or any questions you might have for future episodes. If you have a guest suggestion, I would love to hear it. It's a great place to share it. But thank you so much for listening. And thank you to Sarah and Taylor for coming on today's podcast. And again, thank you to my wife for helping me set up some of these great guests that I've had on in recent episodes. But I really appreciate everybody listening, sharing, and having Money Talks. Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. This show is provided for informational and entertainment purposes and may not be specific to your unique situation. Please be sure to do additional research before making any financial decisions.